Good morning, everyone. It's Todd.
And Julie.
With Christmas Confessions. How are you, darling?
I am well. I am well. How are you today?
I am doing fine.
So, for those of you who don't know, today is Todd's birthday.
43.
Yeah, okay. You know, at some point, your children are going to surpass you.
Once they get up to my age, then...
You'll start adding a year.
We'll start adding a year to them. Well, thank you so much. And I feel blessed. I mean, as my youngest daughter said, congratulations to another trip around the sun.
Absolutely.
And so I am very blessed to kind of be where we are right now. You know, I was thinking, you know, because I've been kind of pondering this birthday for the last couple of weeks. And I thought, I'm going to be 54 years old.
Yes.
And what have I really done in my life in the 54 years that is going to leave an impact when I leave this earth? And I realized that not that much.
I don't know about that.
I feel like that my children will be my legacy.
Yes.
And I pour into them or try to pour into them every day of their life. And I want them to be good, decent, honest, honorable human beings. And I also want to give them the strength or to instill strength in them to deal with the things that are coming their way in life.
Right.
I look at what you and I have gone through and our, you know, since we've known each other, you and I, you were 21.
Yeah.
You were 21 years old when I met you. Mm-hmm. And now you are 49.
Yeah.
So 28 years I've known you. Mm-hmm. And I am grateful and blessed every day for you in my life, for teaching me what true love is all about, for teaching me how to love the correct way, and for giving me the security in knowing that I have always been good enough. And for that, I will always be grateful. But more importantly, for showing me exactly what I dreamed of as a child, because I always wanted to be married to a woman that would have my mother's qualities, that would take care of my children the way my mother took care of me and my brother. And you did that. And for that, I'm grateful. You know, I look at people and, you know, I cut up about, you know, lying about my age and all of that. You know, it's kind of been a running theme on the show. And I've never had a problem in knowing how old I am. I feel good about that God has allowed me to make it 54 years. I look back on some of the people that I went to high school with that are no longer here. I also look at all of the joyous occasions that you and I have shared in 28 years. And I also look at a lot of the heartache. Mm-hmm. I mean, this past 2 weeks has kind of like had me looking at my life. And it's caused me to realize that we don't always understand God's journey. But what I have come to peace with is that any journey that I'm on, I know that he's with me.
Right.
And I look at our kids, at some of the mistakes that they've made. And I look at, you know, when they were younger, and they're going to make many more. But I look at how they've grown.
Yes.
In the last 2 to 3 years, how they've matured, you know, how they're making better decisions. I look at, how my kids have learned very valuable lessons, especially in the last couple of years, about trust and about just because someone says they're your friend doesn't mean they're your friend. You know, our kids have had to see a lot,
yes,
you know, because of all the adversity that we've dealt with in our lives and, you know, negative press, you know, false stories being written, the narrative being completely wrong. And you know, you kind of feel hopeless when you see these things being written and you know, they're not true, but you know that now's not your time to reveal the truth,
right?
That time's coming. And you sit and you have to hold that truth and you have to hold that proof. And it's sad.
Right, because just instinctively, you want to defend yourself.
That's a lie. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. a lie. And
here's the proof that it's a lie.
Right. And you know that you only get one time to really drop that bomb for it to have that effect.
Absolutely.
And so I think that for us, I look at articles that are written, I look at things that people say, and I've realized, why does that matter?
Right.
They don't know
it
us.
It does make you stop and think, though. I mean, as crazy as this was, I was in a parking garage the other day. Mm-hmm. And this lovely lady that works there, and I see every time I go in, she and I talk, and she said, I have to ask you, are you and Todd okay? And I said, what? She said, well, there was an article online that said that y'all are separated. Y'all were no longer living together. And I'm like, well, I just left him about 20 minutes ago.
Standing in the shower.
As far as I know.
He hadn't left.
He hadn't left. And we're coming home to the same place tonight. So, girl, I don't know where you read that, but no, it's not true.
Well, I can say from my perspective that I am married to the only person I will ever marry in my life.
Absolutely.
I don't ever view that I've ever been married to anyone other than you. Yes, I had what was a futile attempt at a marriage, you know, when I was very young and, you know, was having Lindsay, and it was never a marriage. But I think we both knew that it was not a marriage. I mean, we both did what was expected of us to do in that small town that we grew up in. Mm-hmm. But I think that what I learned from that is that if one of my kids came home to me and said, Dad, you know, I'm pregnant, and it's out of wedlock, that's not my choice for our children.
Right.
I want our children to be married before they start having babies. Mm-hmm. But I certainly would not say, well, then you have to get married, because right. I know how that worked out for me.
Right.
And I have learned so much. Like, I have such amazing conversations with our adult children. Mm-hmm. And I listen to some of the things that they've gone through, and now, granted, nothing that they've gone through is earth shattering, but to them it is.
Yeah.
You know, to them it was a pivotal moment in their life. And I look at it and I think, God, if they could just have our wisdom at where they are right now. But then I realized that that's not part of youth.
Right.
That the beauty of youth is living carefree and throwing caution to the wind, mm-hmm. and thinking you're invincible.
Right.
And you don't realize that you're not invincible until you're not, mm-hmm. until the reality sticks.
So true.
And so, you know, I'm grateful for all of the blessings that we have. I'm grateful. You know, I never thought I'd say this, but I'm actually grateful for the heartaches that I've had. Because without those heartaches, I think those heartaches make the blessings even that much more beautiful. And I feel like that, I feel God's presence in my life more every day that I wake up, and when I go to sleep at night, I feel God's presence. And, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and she was telling me about a country music artist that had just performed for mental health. Mm-hmm. And this country music artist you and I know, I've not even shared this conversation with you, but she had performed in Georgia to raise money for mental health awareness, mm-hmm. because she has this mental health. She's part of this mental health crisis that our country is going through right now. And I didn't know that. I didn't know it. I didn't know it about her. And so this other person was telling me that she had, that they had seen her and that she was performing at this event there in Georgia. And I got to thinking, this is such a beautiful woman. And yet she's just now talking about it.
Right.
And we've known her for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like that I want us to, I remember, you know, when we were going through all of this stuff with Kyle, and, you know, and they were saying that Kyle was bipolar. And, you know, do you remember the day that diagnosis came down, how devastated I was?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was from the Mayo Clinic.
Yes. And I was just, I was devastated. But at the same token, I was like, now we know. Mm-hmm. Now we know what it is. Mm-hmm. Now, come to find out that technically, I guess now, you know, they say that's not his diagnosis. And he's doing amazing, and he's not on meds, and he's living a very full life, no drugs, but he has also gotten closer to his Lord and Savior. And that, when I have these conversations with Kyle and I listen to him and I hear him and I see him send me scripture and things like that, I just look up at the sky and I say, God, thank you. Thank you. I didn't give up. You didn't give up on me. I didn't give up on him. And I'm living long enough to see him being brought back.
Right.
And I think about those blessings, you know, of knowing that in his darkest days that God did not forsake him, that God held him close and kept him safe. And so many people, when they get these diagnoses, now granted, like I said, you know, his new doctors say that he doesn't have bipolar, but regardless, there is something there. There was something there. There still is, you know, something there, I'm sure. But whatever it is doesn't rise to the level of medication anymore. But when you look at all of the stigma that surrounds these diagnoses, mm-hmm. and parents that just are ashamed and they don't want to tell anyone. And I said this to someone very close to us the other day. I said, honey, I said, if you've got to worry about sharing something that's wrong with your child with someone, that someone should never be around your child.
Exactly. Or you. Mm-hmm. Ana Luisa crafts high-quality jewelry pieces at very affordable prices. Ana Luisa is a jewelry brand with a simple but clear-cut idea. The high-quality jewelry doesn't and shouldn't cost the planet. They're carbon neutral from packaging to products. Ana Luisa works with trusted partners who share their values and meet their standards, so everything is priced fairly and produced ethically. No unnecessary mining or excessive markups, using recycled materials whenever possible. Designs are unique and will make you feel empowered, elegant, and at your finest. Designs are contemplated with all sizes, gender expressions, and styles in mind. From the perfect gold hoops to personalized jewelry and gemstones to pearls, no matter the time or place, they've got you covered. I was so happy to get my Ana Luisa. I got the cutest ring. I'm wearing it on my pinky. I also got a necklace and gold earrings, and they're so cute. They're like a square hoop, if that makes sense. So I'm super excited to wear them. They have over 100,000 happy customers and counting, and I'm one. Free shipping and returns. Go to shop.analuisa.com/Chrisley. Make mom's day and treat her to new jewelry pieces with Ana Luisa's buy one, get one 40% off sale. One piece for her and one piece for you. That's shop.analuisa, that's A-N-A-L-U-I-S-A, .com/Chrisley. I know you'll love them.
So I feel like that, and I can say this because I did it. I never went out here and talked about Kyle and his diagnosis.
Right.
And you know that.
Well, for so long, you took it as a parenting fail.
Yeah, I think I did because I didn't understand. Mm-hmm. I felt like, where is this coming from? I mean,
what did you do?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have any of this on my side of the family. Where is this coming from? And, you know, I was ignorant.
Yeah.
I was truly ignorant to that whole process because you're talking about, well, at 18, mm-hmm. and he's 31 now. So you're talking about 13 years ago. Mm-hmm. I was ignorant to that. And the whole world was. The whole country was. No one knew really what it was and how to deal with it. And, you know, I think our country, our whole philosophy is let's medicate. Mm-hmm. You know, there's got to be a medicine for this. There's a pill to fix everything. Well, folks, there's not. There's not a pill to cure heartache. That comes from God. That comes from time. That comes with understanding. Comes with forgiveness. There's not a cure for making a bad decision. The cure for making a bad decision is that you learn from it. Yeah. And I feel like that our country that we're truly failing the American people. I think we're failing the people of the world when we don't educate ourselves and view these things as mental illness should be viewed as, you know, the same as any other disease out here.
Right.
And we need to handle it accordingly. And there needs to be proper funding for that. And there needs to be the right kind of doctors for this stuff. Right. Because I truly believe in the mental health sector that it's pharmaceutical pushed.
Right.
That these doctors push the pills, they push the medicine, that's their quick fix. You know, mm-hmm. they see you for 10 minutes. No one can diagnose you in 10 minutes.
Right.
If they do not accept that diagnosis. Because I had, you know, with Kyle, I had him, listen, we went to Emory, we went to the Resnick Center in Los Angeles, we went to the Mayo Clinic, and three or four others. Right. And you know, I think that now, 13 years later, these doctors, these experts that he went to, I think that they recognize things differently today.
Right.
And they see things that, no, that's not what that is.
Right.
No.
Well, knowledge is power.
Right.
The more you learn,
exactly.
The more you know.
And, you know, but you should never have someone to say you're bipolar and then 13 years later say, I think that you deal with PTSD and anxiety. Mm-hmm. I don't think you have bipolar.
Right.
And I don't think you need to be on this medicine. I think this medicine is causing you to have problems. When a doctor says the medicine that another doctor prescribed you is wrong and can cause you to have these issues, that's a problem.
Right.
But now he's been off of his meds for a year now and he's doing great. But so many people out here don't have access to those kind of doctors.
Right.
So many people are going to the health department for mm-hmm. care in their local communities.
Yeah.
Those people are not properly educated.
I'm sure there's some great that are there.
I'm not going to say that there's some that's great there.
Yeah.
Because if you're great, you're not working for the health department, mm-hmm. period. You don't spend your career going to medical school for 8, 10, 12 years, getting master's degrees and everything, PhDs and all that, to end up at the health department. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I know you're going to see. My wife is sitting here looking at me and saying, Todd, don't shit on the health department. But I'm just saying to you, did you take your children to the health department?
I did not.
Okay.
But so, I think there are a lot of people out here that's all they can do. And
that's what I'm saying, though.
Right.
We as a country are failing our citizens.
Right.
Because if the best that we can do for our citizens is to give them care through a local health department,
right.
then that health department needs to be staffed like the Mayo Clinic.
Right.
It needs to be staffed like Vanderbilt
yeah.
or Emory
yeah.
or Johns Hopkins.
No, I agree.
You know, that's how we need to staff our health departments.
Right.
Not just someone who's got the ability to sign a prescription.
No, I agree.
That's why we have all these problems with fentanyl and oxycodone and Xanax and all this other shit that these kids are taking is because it's so easily accessible and the streets are flooded with it.
No, you're right.
And so I've always said that the welfare system and the public health sector is broken. You know, mm-hmm. I've said that forever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that you should be allowed to go out here and keep having one child after the next on the welfare, on the welfare system. I think that yes, you go out here, you get pregnant, and you have nowhere else to go, and you need to have that medical care. I'm all for that.
Right.
But for me, if I was running as president of the United States of America, I would reform our welfare system because I think our welfare system has been set up to hold people back.
Absolutely.
And I believe that if you go out here and you have a child, you know, whether you're married or not, I don't personally think you should be having children that you cannot afford.
Right.
I don't believe that just because you want to have a child entitles you to have a child.
Right.
If you cannot support your child, cannot have your child and not have your child on welfare, then it's not the time in your life to have that child.
Right.
That's not me, folks, before you start blowing up these phone lines. That's not me saying I believe in abortion because I am pro-life. But I'm pro-life with the understanding that a woman has the right to make a decision, an informed decision, regarding her body. I do not believe that the woman should have the right to late-term abortion.
Right.
Because you obviously were not thinking, you didn't care about the consequences because you got pregnant, you had unprotected sex. Well, you know that you're pregnant within, what, 6 weeks?
Most people.
Yeah, you know you're pregnant within 6 to 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. Well, if you're going to make that decision to have an abortion, then it should happen during that time frame. Or if you had unprotected sex last night, then there's the morning after.
Right.
So then you take that to make sure that you're not going to have to go through the traumatic event of an abortion.
Right.
But I do not believe that our system should be set up to reward bad decisions.
Right. I know. Literally,
and it's someone else's expense.
Right. Literally, your mother tells the story, and I think she'd be fine with me sharing it. You guys, you and your brother were small. I mean, you were just small kids. And, you know, someone told her one time, you know what? You could probably get help with like food or whatever,
like food stamps.
But you would have to stop working over.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember this story.
And your mother said, "Are you kidding me right now?" But that's just an example. She's like, "I wouldn't stop working over and stop doing for my kids for all the food stamps in the world."
Yeah, I remember this story. I mean, I think I was like 7 years old, and someone said, "Now, you know, Faye, you know."
It was a friend of hers who worked at the place. Mm-hmm.
And said, "You know, Faye, you know, if you would stop working over and not work so many hours, you know, you would qualify for food stamps." And my mother said, "Let me tell you something. The government didn't tell me to have my kids, and I don't look to the government to raise them or to subsidize them." And she said, "I wouldn't stop working over," she says, "for all the damn food stamps that the country could give me." Mm-hmm. She said, "because I'm going to raise my kids and I'm going to pull myself out of what people think I should be in."
Yep.
"Because I know what I know what my worth is, and I'm going to work." And my mother did my mother worked 14 and 16 hours a day, and you know that.
Yep.
And she did.
But I
she,
think that even that long ago, 40-something years
she
ago.
She refused that help.
But even then, it was broken.
Yes.
Because rather than say, "You know what, Miss Chrissy, we are so happy and so proud
and thrilled
of the fact
that you're
out doing this and you're working all this overtime.
Let us give you a hand up."
Yes.
And that didn't happen for her. And so, you know, I think that I look at the system and I think to myself, my mother did it.
Yeah.
And she did it with no help from no one.
Yeah.
My mother supported us and raised us and made sure that we went to school dressed as good or better than anyone that we went to school with.
Mm-hmm.
My mother and dad worked 16 hours a day and we got a car when we turned 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad went up to Larry O'Kelly's gas station in Westminster, South Carolina, and he signed a thing and said, "The boys can come up here once a week and fill their car up, $20 at a time." And back then, folks, I'm gonna date myself on this. Back then, it was like 75 or 80 cents a gallon.
I was going to say, $20 was a lot. That was for both of you,
but
I guess.
No, we got $20 a piece per week.
Okay.
And so all we had to do was sign the book. And so like if I went up here, I could have filled my car up at that time for like $8 or $10.
Right.
But that would show the $8 or $10. But once I got to $20, would cut me off.
Right.
But I never did. I never went over mine. Randy always would say, "Does Todd have any left on his side?"
Okay. So whether you're obsession is a new show or it's a new food or a new restaurant that you've ordered 3 times in 1 week, Rothy's could be your new everyday shoe obsession. Rothy's shoes gives you right out of the box comfort. They come in amazing styles and colorways, and you can wash them. It's easy to see why millions of women wear Rothy's shoes every single day. You guys know I've talked about Rothy's for years now. I love Rothy's. Chloe loves Rothy's. I love Rothy's for Chloe because she is super rough on her shoes, but I can throw them in the wash machine and they look brand new. People Magazine named The Point the best flat for their first ever style award in 2021. You may have heard of The Point and the flat from Rothy's, but they also make insanely comfortable sneakers, loafers, ankle boots, and more. The best part of everything Rothy's makes is better for the planet. They've repurposed millions of water bottles into their signature thread that goes into every single one of their products. I absolutely love the fact that Rothy's doesn't have that break-in period. I mean, you get the shoes, you can put them right on, wear them all day. I can tell you that because I've done it. So step up your shoe and accessories this spring and get ready to be asked, are those Rothy's? Plus, get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/cc. That's rothys.com/cc.
But you know, my parents worked every day of our life, and you know, I had my children. I've never had them on welfare. And listen, when I had Lindsay and Kyle, I had nothing.
Right.
I was 21 years old, getting married to a woman that I was not in love with, but I was in love with having my child.
Right.
And we were not on welfare. We didn't do any of that.
Right.
Because both her, you know, their mother and myself worked every day, and any help that came to us came from my mom and daddy.
Right.
So, I mean, I can remember working 12 and 14 hours a day in a textile mill, and which I never considered them to be in-laws. I considered them more to be outlaws. My ex's mother, she babysat kids for the community. And I worked 16 hours a day at J.P. Stevens in Clemson, South Carolina. And I remember, now this is the grandmother of Lindsay and Kyle. I remember her charging me $35 a week for each one of them, for her to keep them while I worked. Mm-mm-mm. And my mom and daddy working 14 and 16 hours a day. And my daddy said, you're paying $70 a week for her to keep them? And I said, yeah. My mom and daddy at that point said, no. You will never get ahead doing that. And I worked at 7 o'clock at night. I would go in on the same shift that my mom and dad worked from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. But they would work, you know, they would go in 2 hours early in the morning and then they would work over. My mom and daddy stopped working over in the evening because I would bring Lindsay and Kyle to work with me because Teresa worked nights at the hospital. I would bring them to work with me and daddy would come out 5 minutes before his shift was over and mama would run his job and he would get them in the car with him. And then I would run in and take over his job because I ran it from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. He came in at 7 a.m, took my job, ran it to 7 p.m. And my mom and daddy, after working 14 hours a day back then, took my kids home with them, bathed them, fed them, and put them to bed with them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then they would drop them off at Teresa's mama's house in the morning and let me sleep half a day. And then I'd get them and bring them back to mama. And so we finally got away from that. We broke that cycle and, you know, it was hard, but we did it. Mm-hmm. I did that. And so I look at these single mothers out here and I'm thinking, you know, you're going to the nail salon 3 days a week. How are you pumping up your lips, but yet you're on welfare? No, that's a broken system.
I think it's about priority. I think it's about priority for sure.
And your child should always be your number one priority.
Absolutely.
And I just feel like that, you know, there's so many things in our system that are broken, but the health care and the attention to our veterans, attention to mental health, attention really to women causes, mm-hmm. because there should not be a woman out here that's dying of breast cancer today.
I know. That's not getting, you know, proper care. And exactly. Mammograms.
I mean, if we can go out here and we can provide clean crack pipes through a $32 million government subsidized program through the health departments, if we can give $32 million to giving you clean syringes and crack pipes, we can afford to put mobile mammogram units on the ground to go into these underserved communities.
Absolutely.
And to test these women, to give them the opportunity to have a mammogram, to create a baseline for their health care. We can do that. $32 million, folks, for us to encourage bad behavior, for us to condone bad behavior, for us to say, and this is the part that infuriates me about our system today. You are sitting in the government-appointed position that you're in, the position in the government that you're in, because you were placed there by the people. But I dare to say that the people that placed you there was okay with you voting and saying, yes, I agree, we should spend $32 million for this program to give crack pipes and clean syringes.
I know.
And then to tag it that this first round will go to minority communities. I don't think the minority communities understand that this is just condoning bad behavior in your community. It's not cleaning your community up.
Right.
It's 100%. The minorities, the government and the politicians feed off of giving false hope to the minority communities, the underserved communities, the underprivileged. Mm-hmm. The people that are a part of these communities, they don't want to be a part of that community.
Right.
They want to thrive. They want to live their best lives. They want their kids going to the best schools. Just because you're living over here in a $50,000 house that's falling apart doesn't mean that the love you have for your child and the dream that you have for your child is not equal to someone living in a $5 million house.
Absolutely.
And I can tell you, because you and I have friends from that $50,000 demographic to a $1 billion demographic.
Right.
And you and I both know that some of the best parenting is coming from those $50,000 communities versus those $5 million communities.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that once you get into that stratosphere, that air is thinner. And that you are busy trying to keep up with the Joneses. You're busy trying to make sure your house is bigger and better, that your cars are better, that your kids are dressed better. But what you're not doing is sitting down with your kids at night and talking to them.
Yep.
You're not hugging them when they walk out the door every morning and telling them that you love them and that, listen, no matter what happens today, I got you.
That's right.
And I feel like that we as human beings should not ever get caught in this trap of someone's worth being their net worth.
Right.
Because some of
your net worth doesn't equal your self worth.
Exactly.
Or vice versa.
Right. Mm-hmm. But I think that some people, we know that in this country and in this world globally, that people view you from a socioeconomical position.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm saying, you know, And I know what you're trying to say, because I mean, I've said it to our kids before, that your net worth should never be measured by your self-worth.
Your self-worth should not be measured by your net worth.
Right.
Yes.
But what I'm saying is that someone's worth should not be based off of their net worth.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And some of the greatest relationships that I've had in my life and that I still maintain to this day are with people that have very little. And you know that.
That have very little
from a financial standpoint.
Right. But really and truly, they have so much.
Yes,
more.
But from an emotional, heartfelt position in life, they are abundant.
Absolutely.
And so I think for me, looking at my life today, that, and Julie, you and I have had this conversation, I'm getting ready to start. You know, we've been very blessed with our shows, mm-hmm. and with television. And I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
We've done that.
Yeah.
And, you know that my goal long term is to move out of this,
right,
and to go back to a semi-private life, but that I want to run for public office, that I want to be in a position to where I can help those that can't help themselves based off of the way that we've been treated. I know that I don't know how you get into these communities that have no resources, and then their child is accused of a crime and they don't have the money to fight it. And then they have to go into court with a court appointed attorney and just wish for the best. Well, that is the greatest asset that you will ever have is your child.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're going through this right now with a friend of ours that doesn't have money, that is going through that with her son.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to transition from a very public persona to a more private persona, while at the same time saying I want to run for public office.
Right.
So I know it's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
But I'm willing for the tabloids to write the garbage, as long as what they're writing is shedding light on a cause that doesn't get that attention.
Right.
So if I have to be the sacrificial lamb that Todd Chrisley is this and this and this, but he's doing it for this, then focus on this.
Right.
At least that's out there.
Did you know health insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of an emergency medical flight? Even with comprehensive coverage, you could get hit with substantial copays and deductibles. That's why planning ahead is essential for financial protection. If an emergency arises, Air Medcare Network's highly trained crews can provide air medical transport to the nearest and most appropriate trauma center. And with an Air Medcare Network membership, you pay no out-of-pocket expenses for that flight. That's right. Members won't see a bill when flown by an AMCN provider. An AMCN membership covers your entire household for as little as $85 a year. Join AMCN and secure your financial peace of mind. Right now, as a listener of our podcast, Chrisley Confessions, you'll receive up to a $50 e-gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/Chrisley and use the offer code Chrisley.
You know, I want to fight for the veterans of this country. I want to fight for the people that have mental health issues that are not getting the care that they're supposed to be getting. I want to help reform, you know, our welfare system. I want to
set our single mothers up for success.
For success. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And not let a girl feel like that, well, if I have another child, my welfare goes up to this.
Mm-hmm.
Or my benefits go up to this. Well, if I have three children, then I get a 3-bedroom apartment.
Right.
You know, no, that's not the way it's supposed to be.
Right.
If you want to get a 3-bedroom house or an apartment, then you work 16 hours a day.
Right.
You are no better than what my mother was.
Right.
And I base everything off of if my mother could do it, and you know this. Mm-hmm. I've always said to you, no, if my mother was able to do it, you're able to do it.
Yep.
You are no better than my mother was.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said that to you a million times, and we've raised our children that way. Nope. You need to remember what you come from. If my mom and daddy work 16 hours a day to feed us, clothe us, put a roof over our head to educate us, you ain't no better than they were. So sure. Get out there and clean your own car. Yep. Help your mama clean this house. I want to be able to give back in a way that I believe God wants me to give back in. And I've done it. I mean, I came from this small rural town. I went out into the world at 21 years old as a father of Lindsay in a relationship that I should have never been in and never wanted to be in. I went, filed for divorce multiple times, and I had to figure these things out on my own. And I do believe that I'm a wealth of information based off of the reality of what life has been for me.
Right. Based off your experience.
Based off of my experiences. And I don't try to hide that. I think that that's one of the reasons that, you know, several things have been written that have to be made up, because I tell you the truth. This right. podcast tells you the truth. You know, the at the end of the day, I just feel like that we as a people have an obligation to each other. We have an obligation to the generations that are coming after us. And when we're looking at trillions of dollars in deficit over things that our great-grandchildren will be paying
back. Great, 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 great. Yeah.
I mean, this damn thing that it just passed in Palm Springs, California, did you see it?
I did not.
Folks, I cannot get over the... let me just tell you, because I'm speechless over this. Now, Palm Springs, and everyone knows we love Palm Springs, mm-hmm. but Palm Springs has passed a law there that they are going to give free money away to anyone that identifies as transgender or I forget what the other thing is. Look it up right quick, so we can say the right word. But at any rate, if you identify as transgender or this other title that, because I've been listening, there's a new title every day for something. If you identify as these two things, you're going to get a check. And what about the people that identify as Christian? What about the people that identify as straight? Or what about the people, here's a novel concept, what about the people that identify as male or female? What about the people that are bisexual?
So it's, this is what it says. Beginning next year, Palm Springs will give some transgender and non-binary.
But there's the word, non-binary.
Residents a monthly payment as part of a guaranteed basic income pilot program.
No matter how much money you make.
Yeah.
It's not like that it's set towards people that are low income. You can be worth billions of dollars and identify as trans or what is the other one?
Non-binary.
Non-binary and get a check. And then we wonder why the country's in the shape that it's in. It should not be the taxpayer's obligation because you are identifying as something different.
Well, now, it does say, the city has said the program is only for people who meet a poverty threshold.
Well, they just changed that because when it first came out, it said that it was not, that it would not be based off of income.
Yeah, that's what this says.
So now they've changed it since mm-hmm. people's raising hell about it. But
listen, I believe that everyone should be treated equally. And when I say treated equally, that means you deserve the same respect as any other person deserves the same respect as you me or anybody
That's
else.
Right.
But we also should have the same expectations, you know, whether that's
100%.
Being a productive member of society, working, you know, I don't believe as an employer you should be able to you know, not hire people because, and there are rules that this is, there's federal rules that state that based off your sexual orientation, you cannot discriminate against someone, nor should you be able to. But you also should be required or be held to the same standard as anyone else. If you want to have something, you need to work.
100%. And I mean, and here's my thing. Stop making it so easy for people to just say that I identify as trans because now they can get a check.
Right.
That's a disservice to the trans community.
Right.
I mean, these people that are transgender are human beings. Right. These people that are identify from the time that they were a child as someone, you know, they identified as a sex that was opposite to what they're, you know, what they were born mm-hmm. as. And don't set it up for people to lie and abuse the system.
Right. Mm-hmm. Let's set them up for success.
Exactly. Instead of giving them a Band-Aid.
They need support. They need therapy. They need whatever it is that they need. But I think just like you said, that's a Band-Aid.
Exactly.
In California, what's $900 a month?
Listen, please. You know, I was watching on the news last night, and it just sends me to a whole other damn place with California. It is literally the most ridiculously ran state. That in New York right now. You're going to sit here and say that every homeless person should have an apartment. Who's paying for that apartment?
Right.
Who's paying for that apartment?
Right.
Again, it's a reward system to do nothing.
Right. And understanding that there are a lot of homeless people.
And where are you going to put, and where are you going to put these apartments?
Right.
Are you going to drop these apartments in the middle of Beverly Hills, you know, filled with indigent drug users? Right. You know, in a community where people have spent tens of millions of dollars to live in a safe environment, because Beverly Hills police response time is some of the quickest in the nation.
Right.
And so now, because people moved into a community that's beautiful and they love it and they pay it, you know, to make sure that the city stays clean and whatever, we're now going to bring these people from the outskirts of L.A., you know, or downtown L.A., and start moving them into these neighborhoods where people fight to get into to have their kids in greater school districts. But we're now going to bring them from downtown LA and drop them into condo buildings that the city's going to buy and give vouchers to.
Right.
I'm not living in that community.
Right.
I don't have a desire to live in that community.
I think it comes back to what we were saying earlier about, because I do believe there's so many homeless people, whether that's a veteran, whether that's people that have mental health issues. Mm-hmm. So I think it's part of a bigger issue of broken systems.
100%.
Where if we would take care of our veterans, if we would put the money in truly helping people with mental health issues, mm-hmm.
Then people could live independently.
Absolutely.
But, you know, with that being said, I'm all for everything that you just said, but not at the risk of my child and not at the risk of my wife.
Right.
Or not at the risk of my own safety.
Right. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? Well, it's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. And your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. You know, I actually took the time to download Truebill, and I can tell you I am saving hundreds of dollars a year because, you know, I want to order something, I automatically do the auto renewal without even thinking about it. And then I end up with so many products that I don't need. Truebill has over 2 million users and helped save them over $100 million. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/CC. Go right now, Truebill.com/CC. It could save you thousands a year. That's Truebill.com/CC. Hey guys, it's your girl V Rivera, back again with a brand new podcast. This time, it's with my lifelong friend,
me, Alessandra Gonzalez, and this is Vibin and Kinda Thriving Podcast. Tune in every Monday to hear all about our victories, our failures.
Can't forget about the bochinche.
That's gossip in Spanish, in case you didn't know.
So come vibe with us and be a part of this beautiful and kinda thriving sisterhood.
Follow us on Instagram at Vibin and Kinda Thriving. We'll catch you on Mondays.
I mean, I'm not saying that all indigent people are bad people.
No.
I'm not saying that.
No.
But what I am saying is that no one is going to look at someone that's homeless and say, I want them to be my neighbor. Because just from the aesthetical standpoint of it, you're already looking and saying, okay, why is this person homeless? What did they do to get to this point? Mm-hmm. They look like they're on drugs. You know, they're this, they're that. You have that stigma around it.
Right.
So when you're a parent and that stigma's there, you're going to do what's in best interest of your child.
Right.
So whether you're homeless or not doesn't take priority over me providing a safe environment for my child.
Right.
So, no, if you want to have Tent City, I mean, here's a prime example, the VA hospital there.
Yeah.
Now, you know where this is, right there in Brentwood.
Yeah.
always had the most beautiful front lawn. I mean, the building was maintained wonderfully. Mm-hmm. It has now turned into Tent City. That entire front lawn of the VA hospital has now turned into Tent City, and they have brought in porta potties. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just thinking to myself, this is your fix?
Right.
This is your fix. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't understand it. I mean, you have these hotels out here that are being torn down. Convert them to government housing. Don't tear them down. Convert them to government housing.
Right.
And give these people 12 months to get on their feet.
Right.
You have a voucher for 12 months. You have no rent.
Right.
You have to, in order for you to stay here for 12 months, you have to check in every week. You have to show me the hours that you have got, that you have put into your job. Your employer needs to sign off on this.
Drug testing.
And you're drug tested.
And then we need to put people in place to help these people, teach them, you know, whether, and like you said, whether it's counselors to help with what got
or financial planners or whatever. Because exactly. There's people out here in these sectors that would be willing to donate their time because they want to do good. And, you know, folks, if we help each other, then everyone prospers. Mm-hmm. Everyone does better.
Right.
And if everyone's doing better, you're doing better because you're better because of it.
Right.
And that's what I believe that our world should turn into when you're looking at Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the war crimes that are going on there, innocent civilians being murdered and burned, thrown in holes and just set on fire.
There's absolutely no value to life.
There's no humanity to this at all. Mm-hmm. And then women being raped.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it sent cold chills over me the other night. And then we're sitting here saying, we can't send you planes. Don't come at me with that fuckery. I mean, I'm just like, are you kidding me right now? We cannot save women from being raped by these Russian military men because we don't want to overstep. Guess what? We overstepped hundreds of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now you don't want to overstep and drop planes in there so that they can protect their country and their people?
Yeah.
No, And NATO, I love that NATO is coming together and you know, have a tighter bond today than they've had in forever. But come the hell on, folks. Come on, NATO.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you, all of you together are better than, listen, Ukraine has shown that Russia ain't all that.
Right.
Because what Putin thought he was going to do in 48 hours, he's over there scratching his watch and winding his ass right now.
Mm-hmm. 40-something days.
Because, you know, my modern day hero,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That president of Ukraine, mm-hmm. I love him.
Yeah.
Because he stayed with his people. He fought with his people. He's right there in the trenches with them. And he said, not one inch will we turn over to Russia.
Yeah.
And all he's doing is begging every day for the U.S., the West, you know, the Western countries, please give us the planes to defend our country. Please enter a no-fly zone. If you enter a no-fly zone, then he can't be dropping these bombs on us.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we not doing that?
Right.
Well, it's because of all the damn corruption that has gone on prior to, you know, to Biden taking office. And now this shit's coming out about these laptops, which we knew was there to begin with. And folks, I don't care if you're a Democrat or you're a Republican. All the shit that came out about Trump, I'm a Republican. Look at all the shit that came out. A lot of it was disproved. Some of it's still out there. Who knows? I don't believe that there's any politician out there that's got completely unclean, that's got clean hands.
Right.
When you've got Nancy Pelosi sitting there, still holding her position, and she's worth over $100 million, look at her salary.
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible to gain that kind of net wealth off of what she's making.
Right.
And that's not insider trading.
Mm-hmm. It's something.
I mean, come on. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're talking about casualties here. We're talking about children being burned.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about them being murdered in front of their mothers, their mothers being raped.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't do anything. I mean, Maxine Waters, I just cannot. If there's two women that are the bane of my existence, it's Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi. They are older than dirt and should have been put out to pasture years ago. And yes, I'm using that term. She literally is saying amongst the homeless people, what we need for y'all to do is to go home. And someone in the background said, we ain't got no home. I'm like, talk about out of touch with your people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This woman represents a district that she doesn't even live in. She doesn't even live in. She lives in Hancock Park in a multi-million dollar home. And she's out here amongst the constituents that she represents saying, what we need for you to do is to go home. We ain't got no home.
Right.
Tell me that's not the politician out of touch with the people.
Absolutely.
So, you know, with that being said, I mean, it's my birthday, so I did get to get on the soapbox for a minute. But I want to thank each and every one of y'all for all of the birthday wishes today. I want to thank God for allowing me to have one more year around the sun. I want to thank you for being the most amazing human being, wife, friend, mother, daughter-in-law, and just a good, decent, godly woman. I'm grateful and better because I have you in my life. And I want to thank my mother for making me who I am today and for you taking over from where she left off and putting me in a place to where for the first time in my life, I'm good with who I am. And my good is good enough for me. I no longer live today or tomorrow or next week for being better for someone else. So thank you and I love you. Folks, with that being said, we're out of time. I wish you all a very blessed week. And until next week, good luck and God bless.
Stream the biggest movies and TV shows for free on Pluto TV. Watch movies like Titanic and G.I. Joe The Rise of Cobra, plus TV shows like CSI and Star Trek The Next Generation. Starting this month, check out the 24/7 Stargate channel exclusively on Pluto TV, plus hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows absolutely free. Download the free Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start watching today.